Let's go ahead and call this meeting to order of the Utah Post Council. Just one or two things in-house. First, I'd like to congratulate Colonel Mike Rappich, who's officially been named as the replacement for Colonel Fuhrer, who retired. Welcome to the council full-time. Appreciate your service. And Sheriff Decker is about 5 minutes out, but we'll go ahead and start without him. He will be here shortly. Going down the agenda, I'll look for a motion. I had the opportunity, the minutes were sent to you, to review those. Are there any changes to be made or noted? Hearing none, take a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Okay, motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 This stands approved. Thank you. Let's move into the quarterly reports. Lieutenant Acosta.
Thank you, Council, attendees. The report for the last quarter from the last meeting, which was June 2nd to this past Friday, is we've received a total of 76 complaints received in the Investigations Bureau. We have taken steps to open 30 investigations. We have 47 active investigations, 36 open investigations. We've closed 15 cases without any action. We've had 3 administrative hearings, law judge hearings, and we've had 5 voluntary relinquishments. Those relinquishments were for custodial sexual misconduct, falsification or lying on the post application, misuse of prescription drugs, sex on duty and lying under Garrity, and unlawful sexual conduct with a minor. We have also had 244 applications that we reviewed for peace officers. We've had 23 waiver reactivations, 54 applications for dispatcher, for a total of 321 applications reviewed this last quarter. Are there any questions?
See none. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Lieutenant Bureau? How about Brewer?
Good afternoon, council members. So the Post Council, the quarterly report, for consistency purposes, runs from June until the end of August. So these numbers I'm going to give you are for that time frame. But we do have had, we've had 4 classes that are in session or have completed sessions during this quarter. So they are classes 321, 22, 23, and 24. So class 320, 23, and 24 started this quarter. 321 graduated on August 4th, and we started with 35 cadets, graduated 33. And class 322 is going to be graduating tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Some of you may be attending that graduation. So as long as everybody's passed their tests for this class that's coming up, and I have yet to receive that report, we'll have a total of 33 that will graduate tomorrow morning. Then we have class session 323 in session that will graduate November 23rd. And that has currently 24 cadets in it. And then session 324 is still in the SFO block. We have 8 cadets in there, but they're going to have a huge influx joining that law enforcement block. And we're going to be somewhere around 34 to 38 for that class, that session. And that's scheduled to graduate December 15th. So any questions regarding the basic training for the Post Academy? Let me just talk a little bit about in-service training. Since this same time period that I mentioned, we've offered 28 in-service training classes, training 672 officers and dispatchers for a total of 432 hours of training offered. Any questions regarding the in-service training? Let Mr. Chairman, is it okay to just stay up here for the satellite reports?
Yes, ma'am. Let's move to those.
Okay. So there was three satellite academy audits that were conducted during last quarter. Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, during the audit process, there was no exceptions to that audit. We had some good discussions with their training staff there, though, regarding PT testing. Also a rhabdomyolysis discussion. They believe that they had one case, and that's essentially where somebody exercises so hard that their muscles release this protein, and it can be very serious. Across the country, there have been some deaths related to peace officer training due to this particular medical condition. So we had a really good discussion about that and shared some resources with them. Second audit that was performed was Utah State University Eastern. Scott Henry is the director there. He still is performing one or training one class per year, and he does a special functions block, a basic correctional officer block, and a law enforcement block. And then the final audit that was performed this quarter was on the Salt Lake Community College. Their new, I guess his title is an assistant dean, is Gary Cox, and they've named an academy director of Rich Montanez. So as we reviewed and kind of went through the transition process with them, we actually found one exception to the audit, and that was a post regarding post policy, and it had to deal with an individual who is dismissed. Basically, with all of the academies, there's a bifurcated process when a person is dismissed. They either go through that agency or that higher education process for the college or the agency side for their dismissal. And they also have an appeal process to go to post. Well, they failed to notify this individual about his appeal process to go to post, which would go straight to Director Stevenson, and he was readmitted back to the academy. And so we just talked about how we would fix this in the future, and basically, they called us and said, hey, what do we do with this? We're not sure how we do this. This is what happened, and now he's back in the academy. So we worked with him very closely during that issue. And that basically concludes the satellite audits. Any questions, comments regarding the audit process or any of our findings?
I had one question.
Yes,
sir.
Was
there an incident that occurred with the medical condition that brought you the conversation on, or was that just something you were looking to prevent?
Well, we had a discussion because I believe actually Salt Lake County had an incident where they believed that the individual had rhabdomyolysis or they were injured, and we got talking about it. I think I remember what happened. They actually train on their entry standard doing the 300-meter run. And I said, well, we went ahead and dropped that for the entry because it's an advisory standard only, just so we can have a baseline because of the potential of pulling a hamstring. And they said they had the person pull a hamstring, and it put them out. I mean, they're hired, and they stayed injured for a number of weeks during the academy where they had to recycle them or something along those lines. And I started talking to them about, here's some other areas that you may need to be looking at. Do you know about rhabdomyolysis? And so that's how that came up. So they didn't have a rhabdo case. They had an injury with a pulled hamstring.
Thank you. That's all. Any other questions? Thank you, Lieutenant.
You're welcome.
All right, we have a very full caseload today. Let's go ahead and move right into the disciplinary cases. Mr. Yockey.
Good afternoon, council members, attendees. We do have a pretty full case list today. We have about 28, and this, if I can speak to that really quickly, we finally have a full staff, and I'd just like to commend the investigators at Post for the work that they do and for the cases and investigations that they do. They do a great work, and it makes my job easier, and it makes our ability to fulfill our statutory duties better. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. We have 28 today. First, we're just going to go in alphabetical order. It's the easiest way to get through these. The first matter before the council is a certification of Michael Adams. He is formerly employed with the Washington City Police Department. Sustained allegation is sexual solicitation, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post recommended disciplinary action is an 18-month suspension, which is a deviation from the one-year baseline. And the reason we deviated from that is for the multiple offenses or multiple occasions which this occurred. A summary of the facts are as follows. On April 28th, 2016, Michael Adams was investigated by his agency for sexual solicitation. The investigation disclosed Adams' phone number was identified on a massage parlor client list that a local agency was investigating for prostitution. Investigation further disclosed that in September of 2015, on two separate occasions, Adams patronized the massage parlor. At the conclusion of each massage, the masseuse masturbated Adams to the point of ejaculation. Adams paid $40 and $50 respectively and tipped the masseuse an additional $20 on both occasions. Criminal charges were not filed by the county attorney, and on May 3rd, 2016, Adam resigned from his agency. On August 24th, 2016, Michael Adams waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Adams or his representative here? All right, I see no representation. I'll entertain a motion from the board.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the 18-month suspension.
All right, we have a motion for 18-month suspension. A second?
Second.
All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Brett Allred. He is formerly employed with the Iron County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is unlawful use of financial transaction card and misusing public money. This falls under category of the post-disciplinary guidelines. And post-recommended disciplinary action is revocation, which is the baseline for such an offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On January 8th, 2016, Brett Allred used an agency fuel card to fill up his personal vehicle with fuel while he was off duty and for personal use. Between March 12th and March 15th, 2015, Allred used an agency fuel card to obtain over 92 gallons of fuel for his personal vehicle. Allred admitted to using an agency fuel card to obtain fuel for his personal vehicle to pull a horse trailer to a rodeo in Tremont, Utah. Allred justified the use of the fuel card by dropping off department files for incineration on his way to the rodeo. Allred failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on September 2nd, 2016, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Allred.
All right. Is Mr. Allred or a representative here? Seeing no representation, I'll entertain a motion from the board. Recommendation is revocation.
Mr. Chair, I move we accept the recommendation.
And we have a motion for revocation.
Second.
Sheriff Decker. Any other discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Ryan Barrowman. He is currently employed with the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is assault and domestic violence, which falls under category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a two-year suspension, which is the baseline. A summary of the facts are as follows. On March 18, 2015, Ryan Barrowman was involved in an argument with his wife in the backyard of their residence. During the argument, Barrowman grabbed his wife's arm and also pushed her. Barrowman's wife contacted the local police, who responded and conducted an investigation. At the conclusion of the investigation, Barrowman was arrested and booked into jail for domestic violence assault. On March 24, 2015, Barrowman appeared in the local justice court and pled guilty to disorderly conduct, which was amended to an infraction. Barrowman's agency conducted an administrative investigation, which determined Barrowman violated agency policy. He was issued a letter of reprimand and retained his employment. During a Garrity interview with Post, Barrowman admitted he grabbed his wife's arm to get her attention. He also told Post he was frustrated and pushed her to get her away from him when they began to argue. Barrowman failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on July 18, 2016, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Barrowman.
Is Mr. Barrowman, is he here or representation? Again, seeing none. Recommendation is a 2-year revocation or suspension, excuse me. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve that recommendation.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second for 2-year suspension. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
And one. So voted. Motion ruled passed. Move on to the next. Thank you.
Next certification is the certification of Kason Clark Boyle. He was unemployed at the time of the offense. Sustained allegation is willfully falsifying any information to obtain certification, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is 2-year suspension, which falls in the baseline. Summary of the facts are as follows. On July 1st, 2014, Kason C. Boyle submitted an application to post to attend the police academy. Boyle made no mention of misusing prescription drugs. On October 27th, 2014, Boyle submitted an addendum to his post application. Again, Boyle did not disclose any misuse of prescription drugs. In June of 2015, Boyle completed the academy and was certifiable as a law enforcement officer. During a pre-employment evaluation with the local agency, Boyle disclosed his misuse of prescription drugs to the psychologist. On March 31st, 2016, Post conducted a Garrity interview with Boyle. During the interview, Boyle said he did not disclose the prescription drug usage on his application because he did not remember it. Boyle then said he did not include the prescription drug use on his application because a statement made by the Satellite Academy personnel caused him to believe the question about misusing a prescription drug did not apply to him. Boyle also said that during the ethics class, he stopped listening to the instructor when the issue of the prescription drug misuse was discussed. Boyle again failed to disclose the prescription drug usage on the addendum to his application. On August 24th, 2016, Kason Boyle waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Boyle a representation here? I see no one. A 2-year suspension has been recommended. I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Okay.
The recommendation for the 2-year suspension, that goes back to the time of the incident? Is that how that?
It's from the date that Post discovers that the individual lied on his application.
And that would be the March 31st then?
That would be March.
Okay. I just have a question on that, Chair. Sorry.
All right, thank you. Still looking for a motion.
I move we adopt the agency's recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion for the 2-year suspension. Second?
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? I call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Daryl Broadhead. He is currently employed with the Unified Police Department. Sustained allegation is disorderly conduct, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3-month suspension, which falls in the baseline for that such an offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On January 17, 2015, Daryl Broadhead attended a concert at a local high school with his wife and 2 friends. 2 juveniles approached a law enforcement officer at the concert and told the officer the individual meeting description, Broadhead's description, offered them alcohol. Officers confronted Broadhead as he was drinking from a sports bottle. Broadhead denied offering the juveniles any alcohol, and Broadhead's friends claimed ownership of the sports bottle Broadhead was drinking from. The officers tested the contents of the bottle with a portable breath test device, and it tested positive for alcohol. Broadhead and his 2 friends were issued citations for possession of or consumption of alcohol at a school, and Broadhead was also cited for furnishing alcohol to a minor. Broadhead was suspended by his agency for 40 hours without pay and retained his employment. On June 30th, 2016, possession of consumption of alcohol at a school charge was amended to disorderly conduct Class C misdemeanor. Broadhead entered into a plea in abeyance for disorderly conduct and the furnishing alcohol to a minor charge was dismissed. In Garrity interviews with his agency and Post, Broadhead denied offering any alcohol to any juveniles and also denied knowing his friends put alcohol in their sports bottle. Following its investigation, Post was unable to establish Broad had offered alcohol to minors and also was unable to establish whether Broad had knew whether alcohol was in the bottle. On September 8, 2016, Broad had waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
All right, thank you. If council will look in their packet, there's a letter that was submitted by Sheriff Winder. We'll give the council a minute to read that. That's an addition to the packet. While council is doing that, is Mr. Broadhead here?
Yes.
All right. Give us a second while we read this letter, then we'll have you approach and we'll hear from you. Appears that most have finished reading. Mr. Broadhead?
May I speak and address this?
Yes.
Okay, I appreciate your time, and sorry, couldn't have met under better circumstances. You guys have all reviewed the file and understand what I've been accused of. As far as the alcohol, I did not offer alcohol to any minor, nor did I offer alcohol to anyone at the charity concert. And it was not my intent to consume alcohol. As far as the disorderly conduct, I've owned that since day one, and that's why I accepted the plea for the disorderly conduct. You know, over the last year, 10 months, or 8 months, I received discipline, 40 hours with time off, without pay from my agency. I've also paid a $700 fine for the courts. I was frustrated while we were there. I was frustrated with the allegations. I was frustrated with my friends who had not told me that they had put alcohol into the container and allowed me to drink from that. I was frustrated with the agency and them failing to talk to all the witnesses, including the father of one of the band members who was standing directly behind me and who I'd had a conversation with. I was frustrated with my friends who, like I said, who had put alcohol in there. I was frustrated with the fact that it was 28 degrees below freezing, and I'd asked several times for my wife to get warm, sit in one of their vehicles, pull up a vehicle. I was concerned of her well-being, and I lost my cool. And I was unprofessional with the initial officer. I used profanity. I am truly sorry for that. I embarrassed myself. I embarrassed my family. I've had to explain this to my friends, to my children. I embarrassed my agency and brought discredit to them. I basically violated the code of ethics, and I've dishonored this noble profession, and I'm truly sorry for that. The last year and 8 months, I've done everything in my power to try to prove to my agency that I am an asset, that I'm not a problem child, that this is not an issue, and it's not going to ever be an issue. I will promise you I will never stand before you again. My agency has recognized my efforts and has promoted me to a detective spot where I believe I've excelled. I've served my community for 10 years as an officer. I've never once been disciplined. Prior to that, I was in the Army, and I've never been a problem. I will not be a problem. I own the fact that I was disorderly towards that officer, and I am truly embarrassed, and I apologize. I pray that I'm at your mercy, and I pray that you guys show some understanding and some leniency, and I pray that you'll issue me a a letter of caution and not suspend me for any period of time. Thank you for your time and allowing me to speak.
All right, if you'd stay there for a second, are there any questions for Mr. Broadhead from the council?
I have a question. Yes, sir. Just reading this, you made the statement, were you drinking?
I had rum and vodka before we went there, and the initial officer who had interviewed me inside the gymnasium while the band was playing, he said, "What were you drinking, bud?" Those were his exact words, and I said, "I had rum and vodka before we came." That's the only thing I said. I did not bring the rum. My friends that we came with, we had ice. Alicia had put ice in a container. I watched her pour two small Red Bull energy drinks into the container. We walked into the concert where they had a cash register. They had two officers there in uniform. They walked in with that. They didn't tell me there was alcohol in there. They later told me when we were outside, that's why I got into it with Jason. You guys have all seen the video. I was upset because he didn't tell me, and he thought it was a big joke, and it wasn't a joke. This is everything. And so it was not my intent to consume alcohol.
Thank you. Further question? Sheriff Decker.
Deputy, did you have any contact with the officer that you got Smart Aleck with, I guess, if you apologize or done anything to correct that?
I have not had an opportunity to see him. During the court proceedings, he came in and I left. We were not ever able to meet out in the hallway or anything. But I have apologized to their agency. My chief has expressed that. My agency has shown great support. As you can see in the audience, I've got, you know, my chief and several sergeants, and they can all testify to my, I worked with Victoria in West Valley for 7 years. She can attest to my credibility and my integrity. I've never been an issue. I've never been a problem, and I'm just truly sorry for these, for being here, first of all.
Thank you. Any further questions from council? Any discussion among the council before we call for a motion?
May I address the council? I'm Darrell Broadhead's attorney.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. To answer your question, sir, I spoke to the prosecutor in this case, and he had conveyed to me that initially the agency had been upset with the way Darrell had acted. That was sort of why the criminal charges had played out the way they did. He had told me that they understood the situation, and upon further reflection, they didn't have those concerns anymore. So I think the message was received by them that he was apologetic over the interaction. So I just wanted to address that. As far as the rest of this goes, counsel, I think this is about a disorderly conduct. I apologize for not having more copies, but I can hand out the ones that I do. These are disciplinary matrices from the council going back to 2013. And those are only instructive insofar as they show that for disorderly conduct, this council has consistently issued letters of caution. That's all I want the council
to
do.
All right. Would you supply one to our attorney, Jones?
Yes.
And could we get your name for the record?
My name is Jeremy Jones.
Thank you.
So the initial ones are highlighted. The letters of caution are on the second page.
Thank you.
When the council is done reviewing that, we would just ask that the council consider moving and voting on a motion to reduce the discipline to a letter of caution. Sure. Thank you.
First, I'll ask our legal counsel if you had any time to look at that.
I have, and I have no objection to.
Okay, you have no concern as moving forward or anything? Okay. All right, council's had an opportunity to look at what was passed out. Looks like a narrative on a history of similar complaints. At this time, I'll entertain either a motion or further discussion.
Sure.
Discussion.
Based on the evidence that there was no evidence that he tried to offer alcohol to a juvenile, and if it wasn't for the disorderly, I would certainly be in favor of no action. But with the disorderly, I would recommend and move that we enter a letter of caution into the file.
Yeah, we have a recommendation for moving this to a letter of caution. Is there a second?
Second.
Is a second? Conversation?
Second.
On second, okay.
And Chairman, for reasons specified by Mr. Broadhead, I'll recuse from this, but for what it's worth,
We did work together in West Valley. I'm surprised, to be honest, that he is here, but I will reiterate the sentiment that he had previously conveyed about my experience with working with him.
So you are recusing?
I am.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second to change a 3-month suspension to a letter of caution. Any further discussion? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. It will be a letter of caution.
Thank you, Council.
Yes, let's proceed.
The next matter before the Council is the certification of Sarah Broderick. She is formerly employed with the Department of Corrections. Sustained allegation is willfully falsifying any information to obtain certification, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension, which falls under the baseline. Summary of the facts are as follows. On August 22, 2013, Sarah Broderick's post application was submitted to Post for review. Broderick did not disclose any criminal involvement, arrests, or convictions on her application. On September 16, 2013, Broderick signed a verification of application information form indicating her application was complete. On September 16, 2013, Post received an electronic notification from the Federal Bureau of Investigation indicating Broderick had a criminal history. Post was also made aware Broderick was arrested for assault, domestic violence, and failed to disclose it on her Post application. Post conducted an investigation, determined that there were 11 separate incidents of criminal conduct which Broderick failed to disclose on her Post application, including traffic citations, arrest for domestic violence, and violation of a protective order. On April 21st, 2014, Post conducted a Garrity interview with Broderick. During the interview, Broderick admitted to being involved, arrested, and convicted of multiple criminal offenses and not disclosing the information on her Post application. On June 13, 2016, a hearing was held before an administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued a finding of facts and conclusion of law stating Broderick violated Utah Code Annotated 536-211 as outlined in the Notice of Agency Action.
Thank you. Is Ms. Broadhead, or excuse me, Your Honor, Ms. Broderick here or counsel? I see no one rising. I'll entertain a motion or discussion from the group.
I'm not sure that I think a 2-year suspension is enough after all that. She's tried and tried and tried to get past this. I wouldn't want to see it that she could ever do that possibly again in the future. I would like a revoke. I know we can't revoke what they've been given, but I don't think this is enough. I'd like a 4-year.
Can I ask a question? When you found that information out, was she a peace officer at the time, and was it in Idaho? Or a corrections officer?
Yes, she was BCO and SFO certified, so basic correctional officer certified for recording, and also special functions officer certified.
Can you tell me what happened to her certification in that state because of that?
She wasn't certified in any other state. She was only certified as Utah. I apologize for that.
Oh, okay.
Has she been employed or just gone through the certification process there as well?
Because she was hired by corrections in the state of Utah, and she was actually going, she was in the academy, and she had actually had her SFO and BCO certification. So she was hired by Department of Corrections.
And to that end, Sheriff Decker, that you could request a revocation. I was checking to see whether it could just be a 4-year suspension or revocation. So what is that a motion?
I would like a revocation.
Okay, you're making a motion for revocation?
Yes.
If I could just have my client really quickly speak.
Sergeant Bradnick from the Post Investigations, just to address the council to be clear on the issue. She was attending the Utah Corrections Academy to receive her BCO and SFO certification for the state of Utah. She was never employed in any other state as a law enforcement officer and is only employed in the state of Utah for that approximate 4-month period when she was attending the academy. And this allegation came to light during the time for which she was in the academy, essentially like the last week she was in the academy. So she had already taken the two tests to become certifiable as a BCO and SFO officer. So she never had any certifications in any other state and had only gone through the Utah State Corrections Academy.
That is correct.
Did that rise to the level of federal statute which would allow her to carry a gun?
I'm sorry, there was a few different incidents, and so I'm trying to make sure we have the correct one. So yes, because it did arise to that level, she wouldn't be able to possess a firearm as an LEO or a law enforcement officer. She would only be able to function as a basic corrections officer or a special functions officer.
Okay.
I can also interject on this. Our office prosecutes a number of these. If she still has an active protective order, and assuming that protective order was one that she was properly served with and she had notification of a hearing, she would also be restricted by being subject to the protective order. As for the domestic violence, it would depend on actually the statutory construction as to whether or not she would be federally restricted. But the combination of these things would certainly, at least on the surface, make it appear so.
Thank you. We do have a motion for revocation. Do we have a second?
Sorry. I just recused myself.
Okay. Director Cook will recuse himself. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. I have a motion, a second, for a change to revocation. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Excuse me. If she's not employed, the revocation would just preclude her ever being employed here in Utah anyway.
That's correct.
Correct, and it would also be, the revocations are also notified throughout
country,
all the states, the national database.
Right. All right, we did have a motion and a second for revocation. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And Director Cook has a say. Thank you.
Next case. The next matter before the council is a certification of Silver Brown. He is currently employed with the Utah Highway Patrol. Sustained allegation is a BCI violation, which falls into Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a six-month suspension, which is the baseline. And as you recall from two councils previous, we had a few of these, and that's why post has proceeded to go with the baseline on this. A summary of the facts are as follows. On September 1st, 2015, Silver Brown access a personal friend's criminal history through BCI while off duty and without a legitimate law enforcement purpose. Charges were screened with the local county attorney's office and the deputy county attorney declined to file charges. On December 17, 2015, Department of Public Safety Office of Professional Standards conducted a Garrity interview with Brown. Mr. Brown said he accessed the criminal history record because his friend requested a copy of the record to include in a job application. On August 8th, 2016, a hearing was held before an administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued a findings of facts and conclusions of law stating Brown violated Utah Code Annotated 56-211-1 as outlined in the notice of agency action.
As post counsel should note, there is also a letter attached to this case file if you would take a minute to read that. And then we'll
Julie. Okay. And Mr. Brown and his attorney are present.
Right. I didn't catch that.
I'm also recused. Okay. Yes.
Hopefully, council's had an opportunity to read that letter. Mr. Brown, or our legal counsel, please.
Members of the council, my name is Greg Skordis, and I'm Silver Brown's attorney. He did not ask me to appear today. I came on my own and with his permission, and I'm happy to address you today. When Silver came into my office, he fully admitted, as he has with Post from day one, his conduct. I was cognizant of the Utah County Attorney's Office review of the facts. It wasn't just so much that they declined the case. They did so because there was no victim, there was no harm. There was no chance of them prevailing in front of a jury. They felt that there was no benefit to the judicial system by even filing charges of this nature. And importantly, they felt that it was not consistent with the legislative intent behind the statute. Silver accessed a record for an individual who was trying to improve his employment. That was certainly not the reason why this legislation was passed. I couldn't disagree more that this is not criminal conduct that satisfies the requirements for the sanction that's recommended here, with all respect to Post and its attorneys. And by the way, you're lucky to have Marcus. He's as good as you've had in all the years that I've worked. And by the way, this is the first time I've ever addressed the council. I would ask you to consider the facts of the case and the circumstances of what occurred, recognizing that there's certainly no criminal intent. There was no chance that this case could ever get prevailed upon in front of a jury, even with the most miserable prosecutor like Ken Wallentine. And I say that with lovingly.
Yes.
It doesn't meet the standards there. And I'll say this as a criminal defense attorney who's practiced for 34 years in most of your jurisdictions, that Silver maintains a reputation that many of us absolutely don't appreciate. The criminal defense bar, the prosecution bar, he is a person of unparalleled integrity. He's obviously a person of color as well, and in my opinion, the kind of law enforcement officer that we need on the streets, and I believe it would just be a travesty if he lost his certification for any period of time. Thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you, Mr. Skordis. Mr. Brown, would you like to be heard?
Ladies, gentlemen of council, I greet you with the warm aloha. I've been employed with the Utah Highway Patrol. Next month will be 14 years. I've also been employed with the Provo City Police Department for about 8 years as a reserve officer, and now as with the BYU Police for the last 5 years as a reserve officer. With this incident, there was no intent to harm anyone. There was no intent for any personal reasons. I merely wanted to help a friend for his employment. This case is very different from any other cases that I have reviewed since 2012 that you folks have ruled on. It's been a very emotional for me because that's not my nature. I have done everything I could in nearly 14 years to do my best to be the best law enforcement officer that I can. I have traveled the state for several years assigned to our DUI squad. And in those 3 years, I have taken off our roads over 800 DUI drivers.
and I have done my best to cross my T's and dot my I's and to make sure that I was, my reports and everything was outstanding. So there was no question. Have I learned from this incident? Yes, I have. And I have I've taken actions to make sure this doesn't happen again. If I may, I don't know if you have this, but if I may, I'd like to read a letter from my superior.
We just read that.
All right. Thank you very much. I ask for your leniency, your understanding. Thank you for your time.
If you'd stay there for a second, Mr. Brown. Any questions from the council for Mr. Brown?
One.
Please.
After you access the system and you realize you made a mistake, you told your friend to destroy the record, but didn't self-report. How come?
Take it.
After you accessed the record and realized you made a mistake, you didn't self-report. Is that correct?
I didn't self-report.
I told my sergeant about it.
You did. Okay.
Yes.
Chairman, I have a question for our attorney. Maybe I misunderstood, but it was for a job interview or for a job application.
For what he was running it for? Yes, correct. For the individual's job application, correct.
Did Mr. Brown write a letter of recommendation to that individual?
That was not part of that was not part of our investigation, no.
Any further questions? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Jason. Mr. Chairman, I would move that we reject the suspension and go with the letter of caution.
Okay, we have a motion for a letter to reject the 6-month suspension and go for a letter of caution. A second?
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? I'll call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mahalo.
Just a quick note before we proceed to the next one. With this council, with this decision on the BCI violations, is this, as Post seeks to entertain the future BCI violations, would the Post Council advise Post to amend its recommendation for this category? It's something to consider. Obviously, it's not something on the agenda, but it's something to think about. In the past, we have had previous decisions where we've had more severe punishments for a BCI violations. And Post, we just want to make sure we're bringing the recommendation that is appropriate for the Post Council.
Just as a personal note, I think the reason for the inquiry, to me, is all important. We've seen inquiries where it's been vindictive on a spouse or a pending divorce, or inquiries for just curiosity versus, you know, something that was more of a benign nature. So I think that, I don't know that that's an issue to take away the option to be have that swing in abilities for sanctioning based on the issue of how and why that was done.
Okay.
I invite other councils to.
I agree.
I think the big difference here is he self-reported. He started to take care of the thing himself. He's very honest and forthcoming about it. No personal gain in it.
We certainly have a further conversation on it at some time.
Just one thought, Mark, just to your question. And out of the cases I've seen that come before this council, the tricky thing about these BCI violations, they tend to be on the extreme. You tend to have, relatively benign versus some that are a lot more serious. It doesn't seem to be a lot of middle ground with these BCI violations, so that might be
something to consider if we revamp the guidelines.
Thank you.
As another note, I think it might be helpful for somebody at some point to give the council an overview of the training that's provided to those who have access to the systems. If, as I understand it, it's a fairly in-depth, routine training with very clear parameters about what's to be used, because I think that training is probably an important component of it as well. And I think some agencies have been a little bit more lax with, their enforcement, their auditing, getting people into that training, what type of training they're providing. I think from BCI's standpoint is, this is very rigid. These are the rules. These are the only parameters. But I think that at a practical user end, a little bit of that might get lost. So I don't know if it maybe is something that, rather than starting here, needs to start. That's something that needs to be addressed through DPS's channels and providing the training.
I appreciate your input. I will consult with my client accordingly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next case.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Adam Smith Burton, formerly employed with the Iron County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is domestic assault, domestic violence in presence of a child, intoxication, and emergency reporting / false reporting. This falls under Category C of the Post-Disciplinary Guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3.5-year suspension. This is a deviation up from the two-year baseline due to the fact that there's multiple offenses and criminal episodes. A summary of the facts are as follows. On August 22, 2015, Adam Burton got in an argument with his friend when the friend accused Burton of being inappropriate with his friend's wife. Burton's two-year-old son and wife were present. Burton's wife got in between the two men and pushed them apart to prevent an altercation. Burton pushed his wife out of the way, causing her to fall to the ground. The friend then hit Burton in the head more than one time with a closed fist and walked away. Burton got up and started following the friend, yelling at him to come back. Burton's wife followed Burton, trying to get him back home. A neighbor came out of the house and asked Burton to be quiet or he would contact law enforcement. Burton became confrontational with the neighbor. Burton's wife then pushed Burton away from the neighbor and yelled for the friend to come back and help her. Burton shoved his wife out of the way again, and she fell to the ground. Several neighbors heard all of the yelling and contacted 911. The friend came back and helped Burton on the ground until police arrived. The local prosecutor declined to file charges on Burton because he was the victim of an assault by his friend. The prosecutor declined to file any domestic violence charges on Burton because Burton's wife was uncooperative. During post-investigation, it was also discovered Burton had been involved in a false reporting incident that occurred on December 6, 2015. The investigation disclosed Burton's wife was out with her friends at a local bar, and Burton wanted her to come home. When Burton's wife did not answer the phone, Burton called police and made a false report of a fight between three women at that bar. Police responded and determined that there was no fight in progress. Police listened to the recorded 911 call and immediately recognized Burton's voice as the caller. The local prosecutor filed a costly misdemeanor charge of false emergency reporting on Burton. Burton entered a plea of not guilty, and the adjudication is still pending. During a post-Garrity interview, Burton admitted he made a false report of a fight to get his wife to respond to him and come home. And Adam Burton failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on August 17, 2016, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Burton.
Thank you. Is Mr. Burton or his representative here? See no one rising. I'll call for a motion or discussion from the council.
Accept the recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the 3.5-year suspension as recommended. Second?
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Justin J. Butler. He is formerly employed with the Payson City Police Department, sustained allegation is driving under the influence, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a one-year suspension, which is falls under the baseline for the category. A summary of the facts are as follows. On April 30th, 2016, Justin Butler was stopped for a lane travel violation. During the stop, Butler was also submitted to a standardized field sobriety test, which indicated impairment. Butler was arrested for DUI and subsequently submitted to a chemical breath test, which showed his breath alcohol content to be 0.105. On July 20th, 2016, Butler entered a plea of guilty to impaired driving, a Class B misdemeanor, in the local justice court. During a post-Garrity interview, Butler admitted to consuming alcohol, then driving his vehicle with his breath alcohol content over the legal limit. On August 29th, 2016, Justin Butler waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Butler here or?
Good afternoon, Council. Nate Nelson representing Justin Butler. And I'll just take just a brief moment to speak about some of the circumstances that Mr. Yockey addressed. We too believe that the one-year suspension is appropriate given the facts and circumstances, particularly in light of the BAC, which was 0.105, relatively low and just above the legal limit. And so with that, I'll have my client speak to you briefly.
Mr. Butler.
Good afternoon, Council. I'd just like to say I accept full responsibility for what I did. I got behind the wheel after consuming alcohol. I understand that. I totally agree with the one-year suspension. I do believe that is a fair punishment for it. I'd like to just get this behind me and push back forward, try to get back into law enforcement and move forward.
Thank you. Any questions from the council for Mr. Butler? Seeing none, I'll call for a motion.
Motion to accept one-year suspension. Is there a second? A second from Director Cook. Motion to second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Larry Cunningham. He is formerly employed with the Bringhurst Constable's Office. Sustained allegation is falsifying a return of service, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a three-year suspension, which falls under the baseline for that category. A summary of the facts are as follows. On January 31st, 2015, Larry Cunningham attempted to serve a subpoena on a woman who lived several hours from the constable's office. Cunningham was unable to serve the subpoena. However, Cunningham spoke to the woman by phone the next day and arranged to serve her husband the subpoena at the husband's place of employment located near the constable's office. After serving the subpoena to the husband, Cunningham filled out and signed an affidavit which generated a proof of service or return of service for the subpoena. On the affidavit and proof of service, Cunningham falsely indicated he personally served the woman at her residence on January 31st, 2015, a day before he served the husband. Cunningham agency became aware of his actions, and on February 25th, 2015, Cunningham was terminated from his agency. During a Garrity interview with Post, Cunningham admitted he indicated on the affidavit he personally served the woman at her residence on January 31st, 2015, which generated a falsified return of service. On August 30th, 2016, Larry Cunningham waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham, or legal representative here? I see no one rising. I'll call for a motion from the board.
Motion to accept.
Motion to accept the three-year suspension. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any other discussion? Call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Chad DePalma. He is currently employed with the Beaver County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is criminal trespass and criminal mischief, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, which is a a deviation from the 6 months baseline due to the minimal nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On or about January 4th, 2016, Chad DePalma was attempting to access Bureau of Land Management property, but was unable to drive on the main road due to snowpack. DePalma walked across private property to a locked gate leading to the BLM land and placed glue in the lock. DePalma was investigated by his agency and admitted to placing the glue in the lock because he wanted the lock owner to cut the lock, which would temporarily allow him to access to the BLM property through the gate. DePalma said he did not know the gate was on private property. DePalma apologized to the property owner, purchased the property owner a new lock, and was suspended by his agency for 36 hours without pay. The case was screened by the county attorney, who declined to prosecute. On August 3rd, 2016, DePalma waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. DePalma a representative here? Okay. Please.
What was the distance on the private property from point A to the gate?
Probably 100 to 200 yards.
100 to 200 yards. And there was a fence between?
So the normal road to access the BLM land was snowpacked, and so the fence, the gate essentially would have allowed him access to that BLM land through the other, through another route.
And then the way I read it, he left and then returned to glue the lock shut. Is that correct?
Correct. He went and purchased a glue and glued the lock shut so that it could be cut.
Has Mr. DePalma had any other post actions?
No.
Any further discussion? I'll look for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to recuse myself.
Okay. Sheriff of Beaver County will recuse himself.
Is there, just really quickly, is there a letter from the administration?
Oh, there is. I'm sorry. There is a letter.
Thank you.
If you want to take a second, I believe it's the jail commander from Beaver County. It's attached. Again, call for a motion.
Accept recommendation.
Okay, I have a motion to accept the recommendation of letter of caution. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
If I may proceed.
Yes, please.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Jason Elwood. He is formerly employed with the Uinta County Sheriff's Office. The sustained allegation is sex on duty, which falls into category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a four-year suspension, which is a deviation from the three-year baseline due to multiple occasions and with more than one individual. A summary of the facts are as follows. Between March 2015 and August 2015, Jason Elwood, a correction officer, engaged in sexual conduct while on duty inside the correctional facility multiple times and with two co-workers. Uinta County Sheriff's Office did not conduct an internal investigation into this allegation because Elwood had been terminated prior to the discovery of the sexual conduct on duty, and Mr. Elwood was terminated for policy violations not related to this allegation. On July 29th, 2016, Jason Elwood waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Elwood, or a representative here? Mr. Elwood.
Members of the council, I apologize for having to appear before you on this incident, and I just want to take the time to say that I regret my actions and that I have taken the steps in my personal life and professional life to rectify the issues that led to these incidents, both with my my spouse and just with my personal things. I've sought counseling and been attending counseling weekly to address the issues that led to the instances that have been brought before the Post Council. And I ask for leniency in the fact that, that I would like to one day rejoin the esteemed ranks of law enforcement, and I just want to put this matter behind me and work towards that goal. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you go, any questions for Mr. Elwood from the council? Okay, thank you. Entertain a motion from the council.
Motion to accept the 4-year suspension as recommended by Post.
I have a motion to accept the 4-year suspension.
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, Council.
Next case.
Next matter before the council is a certification of Chance Farron. He was unemployed at the time of the offense. Sustained allegation is disorderly conduct, which falls under category F of the post disciplinary guidelines. Post recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, which is the deviation down from a 3-month baseline due to the minimal nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On October 12, 2015, Chance Farron, an unemployed certified peace officer, was investigated by a local police department for disorderly conduct. Farron called police to report his ex-wife had assaulted him. Farron had met with his ex-wife at a hospital to pick up their 7-year-old daughter, who was taken to the hospital for medical treatment. While Farron was putting his daughter into the vehicle, Farron's ex-wife became upset and threw a cup of ice at Farron, hitting him in the face. An argument ensued between Farron and the boyfriend of the ex-wife, who was also at the hospital. On October 30th, 2015, the local prosecutor filed a disorderly conduct charge on Farron, his ex-wife, and her boyfriend. On January 12, 2016, Farron pled no contest to disorderly conduct under Utah Code Annotated 769-102, an infraction. This matter is being brought before the council because of, due to the conviction, even though it may not arise to the level of the offense. On August 24th, 2016, Farron waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Farron, our representative here, come forward. Please.
Thank you, Council. I'm sorry to be here. I really would just want to put this behind me and move forward in my law enforcement career.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Farron from the Council? I see none.
The motion that we adopt the recommendation of the letter of caution.
Okay, motion to adopt as recommended to have a letter of caution. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passed.
Next case.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Ellen Guardama. She was unemployed at the time of the offense. Sustained allegation is willfully falsifies any information to obtain certification, which falls under category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension, which is the baseline for the category. A summary of the facts are as follows. On October 30th, 2013, Ellen Guardama submitted a post-application to attend training at a satellite police academy. Guardama indicated in her application that she never used marijuana. On February 26, 2014, Guardama submitted an addendum to her post application and disclosed she smoked marijuana twice in 2010 when she was 18 years of age and 2 times in 2011 when she was 19 years of age. On September 17, 2015, Post received an email message from Guardama, which stated she took a polygraph exam on December 24, 2014 with a potential law enforcement employer. During the polygraph, Guardama disclosed she last used marijuana in May 2012, which was less than 2 years prior to attending the academy. On August 25, 2016, Ellen Guardama waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Ms. Guardama here, or her representative? I see no one rising.
I'll take a motion from the post counsel.
Motion to accept recommendation.
Okay, motion to accept 2-year suspension as recommended. Second?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any discussion? Anyone opposed? Who had the second?
Spencer. Or Mr. Austin, sorry.
And anyone opposed? I'm sorry. No one opposed. Motion passes. Next case.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Brett Hadley, formerly employed with the Harrisville City Police Department. Sustained allegation is sexual solicitation, lewdness, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2.5-year suspension, which is a deviation up from the 1-year baseline due to the nature of the offense and the issues regarding the victims. A summary of the facts are as follows. On or about October 9th, 2015, Brett Hadley paid an adult male approximately $60 to engage in oral and manual sex with him. The adult male's wife witnessed the sexual act and engaged in exchange of money. Later that evening, Hadley asked the adult male and a 17-year-old male if either wanted Hadley to perform oral sex on them. Both males declined. Hadley then exposed his penis to both males and said he would send a picture of his penis to the adult male. During the subsequent criminal investigation, corroborating text messages from Hadley's phone to the adult male's phone were found. Hadley was terminated from his agency, and criminal charges were filed for sexual solicitation, lewdness, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and intoxication. On May 25th, 2016, Hadley entered a plea of no contest to contributing to the delinquency of a minor, a Class B misdemeanor, and attempted sexual solicitation, a Class C misdemeanor. The lewdness and intoxication charges were dismissed with prejudice. Post contacted Hadley several times attempting to arrange an interview. Hadley stated he wished to participate in the post process. However, since that time, he has stopped communicating with Post. Hadley failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on July 18, 2016, an order of default was signed by an administrative law judge and mailed to Hadley.
Thank you. Mr. Hadley, or his representative here. I see no one rising. I'll entertain a motion or discussion from the council. Yes.
So I understand he was an SRO. Now we met, is that minor?
Yes, so he was a special functions office.
Is that considered?
SRO, sorry, school resource.
School resource.
Yes, I apologize.
Is that considered as part of this as an aggravating circumstance or anything like that?
As far as post decision to aggravate it up, we did not consider that, no.
Being in a position of trust, would that have?
Yeah, position.
That would be something for the council to consider. As far as our recommendation, we just considered the nature of the offenses and the issues regarding the victims.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a motion?
I'm just trying to get clarification.
Okay.
It seems to me the action that we're dealing with is very serious, but it's aggravated by the fact that he came in contact with him and he was a school resource officer.
Correct. However, so the actions on this offense that Post was able to investigate, the individual was an adult at the time of the offense.
But my concern would be the grooming prior to that in the position that he was in with a minor in a special education class, and in his opinion, categorizing him as slow.
That would be something for the council to determine.
Just keep in mind.
We only go to the very top of wherever our guidelines on, and this it fits under Category D, and so we are at the top end of our threshold at 2.5 years. Okay. So, however, the post council determines, you guys have additional aggravators or mitigators you guys are considering. You guys may proceed down that road.
The council can make findings of other aggravated issues and change the recommendation.
Was he ever committed, or did he ever admit to doing any of this to a juvenile?
We do not have any of that, no. Or else different charges would have been brought.
This information came out within the agency's IA. Is that where this information in the packet's coming from?
Through the criminal investigation.
for a motion or further discussion? Yes, Chief Carpenter.
I'd like to make a motion that we move for revocation due to the fact this individual was a school resource officer, was in a position of trust, and the individual potentially had an intellectual disability.
Second. Okay, we have a motion for revocation on special circumstances and a second from Sheriff Decker. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to recuse myself on this one.
Okay. Get the recusal. Okay. All right. Call for a vote. All those in favor for the revocation say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Next case.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Shane Harding. He is formerly employed with the Sandy City Police Department. Sustained allegation is theft by deception, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is 1 year suspension, which falls into the baseline. A summary of the facts are as follows. On December 15, 2015, Shane Harding was investigated by his agency for theft. The investigation disclosed that between October 1st and November 30th, 2015, Shane Harding signed up to work several security shifts at a local business as part of his secondary employment. Harding failed to work 24 hours of the shift he signed up for. Harding submitted a payment request to the business for the hours not worked and was paid for services not rendered. The monetary value of the 24 hours equated to $480. Harding admitted to the theft from the business, and at the request of the business, Harding was not criminally charged. Harding resigned from Sandy Police Department on December 21st, 2015. And on September 9th, 2016, Shane Harding waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Is Mr. Harding a representative here? Please approach.
Counsel, my name is Jeremy Jones. I represent Mr. Harding. I'm going to let him speak.
Thank you, counsel. I just want to let you guys know that I take full ownership for my actions. I broke the law. Just to understand, I have 15 and a half year, actually a good career with that agency. I was in good standing. I would hope to have the opportunity to finish my 4.5 years somewhere else, hopefully by the grace of an agency hiring me so I can get it done. But I hope that council will take the recommendation of post and do the 1 year suspension. Thank you.
Mr. Harding, if you wait, are there any questions for Mr. Harding from the council?
Chairman, I need to recuse myself.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Harding? All right. I'll go ahead and call for it.
Chairman, I move we accept the 1 year recommendation.
And just really quick, if I can just interject, Mr. Harding did pay back the business for the monetary value that was.
Thank you. Okay, call for a motion.
We accept the recommendation.
Okay. 1 year. Have a motion and a second to accept the 1 year suspension. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you,
the next matter before the council is the certification of Darren S. Hoover, formerly employed with the West Valley City Police Department. Sustained allegation is disorderly conduct, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3 month suspension, which falls in the baseline for this category. A summary of the facts are as follows. On October 11, 2014, Darren Hoover was on a hunting trip with his adult daughter. Hoover and his daughter began to argue because Hoover was divorcing her mother. During the argument, the daughter called Hoover a derogatory name, and Hoover struck his daughter in the mouth with an open hand. Hoover said he struck his daughter as an act of discipline in response to her calling him a derogatory name and being disrespectful. Hoover was arrested and booked into the county jail on charges of domestic violence assault and interruption of a communication device. On January 15, 2015, Hoover entered a plea of no contest to be held in abeyance to the amended charge of disorderly conduct. During Garrity interviews with his agency and post, Hoover admitted to hitting his daughter. On September 1st, 2016, Darren Hoover waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Hoover, counsel here. Hey, Mr. Hoover.
Counsel Jeremy Jones again for Darren Hoover. Same, he'll speak for it.
First of all,
This is the first and last time I ever want to be here. I take full responsibility for my actions that day. It was an emotionally charged incident, and I neglected to step away and de-escalate the situation as I should have. I look forward to hopefully getting back into law enforcement, something that I love and hold very near and dear. Thank you.
Any questions from the council? Seeing no questions, I'll call for a motion. Okay. Director Cook will recuse.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we accept post recommendation of 3-month suspension.
Okay, have a motion to accept the 3-month suspension. Second?
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
One opposed. Motion passes. Next case, please.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Stephen Klein, formerly employed with the Beaver County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is theft / wrongful appropriation, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post recommended disciplinary action is a 3-month suspension, which is the baseline for the category. A summary of the facts are as follows. On July 15, 2014, Stephen Klein was investigated by an outside agency for an allegation Klein sold Beaver County Sheriff's Office ammunition to a local pawn shop. The investigation disclosed that on July 15, 2014, Klein went to a local pawn shop and sold 26 boxes of .40 caliber ammunition and 13 boxes of .223 ammunition. Klein was paid $320 in cash for the transaction. Klein's employment was subsequently terminated. On March 15, 2015, Klein pled guilty to wrongful appropriation, a Class B misdemeanor. During a Garrity interview with Post, Klein admitted to selling the ammunition, which belonged to the Beaver County Sheriff's Office, to a pawn shop on at least 2 separate occasions. Klein failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on August 23, 2016, an order of default was signed by an administrative law judge and mailed to Klein on September 7, 2016.
Okay. Mr. Klein here, or his representative? I see no one rising. I'll entertain discussion or motion from the board.
The baseline for this offense is a 3-year suspension, Category B.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the attorney.
Yes, sir.
So the Post conducted its Garrity interview in August of 2014, is that right?
Correct.
Any further question?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to recuse myself, but before doing so, I do need to point out Mr. Klein has had other instances with Post prior to this, so I think that needs to be clarified. But I'm going to recuse myself from the rest of it.
Okay. We have a recusal. Sheriff?
I just think 3-year suspension when he's taking something from his own agency, and then he's committing 2 acts there, and termination is proper.
Okay. Is there a motion? Well, there's not termination, there's
revocation.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay. I have a motion to revoke. Is there any further discussion?
Just for clarification, the prior incident was investigated by Post, but no action was taken.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Chief?
Is there a federal firearms violation for selling ammunition?
Not in this case. We Post didn't proceed on that. I apologize. You put me on the spot.
All right, we have a motion to change the recommendation from 3-year suspension to revocation. Have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a second. Any further discussion? All right, call for a vote on revocation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Next case.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Amber Dean, Richard Mays, I apologize, formerly employed with the Department of Corrections. Sustained allegation is driving under the influence, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is an 18-month suspension, which is a deviation up from the 1-year baseline due to the high blood alcohol content. A summary of the facts are as follows. On December 9th, 2014, Richard Mays was investigated by an outside police agency for driving under the influence of alcohol. The investigation disclosed Mays was involved in a single vehicle motorcycle accident. Witnesses told the investigating officer they smelled an odor of alcohol on Mays. A warrant was obtained for Mays' blood and test results, showed a blood alcohol content of 0.255. Mays was subsequently charged with DUI and pled guilty to an amended charge of impaired driving, a Class B misdemeanor. Mays was investigated by his agency and resigned on August 24, 2015. During a Garrity interview with Post, Mays said he did not contest the allegation because he did not remember what happened. On September 8, 2016, Mays waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Mays, or his counsel here?
Counsel, Jeremy Jones appearing on behalf of Mr. Mays. He's not here. He apologizes for not being able to make it in person. He did receive a very significant traumatic brain injury as part of this accident. That makes travel, especially long distance, difficult for him. He asked me to appear on his behalf and say a few things to the council in his stead, if that's okay. Thank you. So Mr. Mays wanted to convey to the council that he appreciates law enforcement's work in this, on his case. He's apologetic that people had to spend their time on him, both from the initial investigation and the accident scene, to Post having to engage in an investigation into his conduct. Unfortunately, he doesn't remember anything. He doesn't remember what happened leading up to the crash. He doesn't remember anything. So he can't contest, but he can't offer any excuses as to what happened or why, but he can say that they did find blood or alcohol in his blood. On his behalf, he also asked me to convey that he does have a real desire to get back into law enforcement. He misses the people that he worked with. He wants to go back and continue to work with them and be a part of law enforcement. As far as for what I would say on his behalf, I think that this council has fairly consistently adopted the recommendations of Post. I would ask this council to consider going below Post recommendations in this recommendation in this circumstance. The baseline is 1 year. I'm not necessarily asking for 1 year, but I am asking the council to consider something less than 18 months based on sort of the unique nature of what happened here. I'd also like to convey to Post Council that he has not touched a drop of alcohol since this accident. Completely sober, he submitted to ignition interlock, he submitted to ankle monitoring, he submitted to random alcohol screenings as part of the criminal case. He passed those with flying colors, no issues. He's completely sober since April, since this happened. And so I think that to the extent Post Council has a desire to ensure that he has changed his behavior, that has been accomplished. He took this seriously from the word go. He acknowledges that it was a mistake, but I think he has corrected his action. And I would ask this council to consider the last downward deviation they made, which I believe was in 2014 for Jason Adams. That was a case where the recommendation was 4 years. The council decided to give him 3 years. That was a fairly significant accident, if the council recalls. He was driving his highway vehicle. I believe he had children in the car. Crashed. The council considered what he had to say, that he had changed his life, that he had stopped drinking, that he had made some, you know, positive steps in the right direction, and the council did, in fact, reduce the disciplinary recommendation there. I'd ask for the same consideration here. Thank you.
I return this to the council. Discussion or a motion?
Yes, please. Marcus, question for you.
You're trying to remember a little bit, but for D,
DUI offenses, Post will recommend an 18-month suspension if the BAC level is over double the limit.
So we generally, so Post, in the past, what they've done is 1 year for a standard DUI, and then if it's double the limit or an accident, we will aggravate it up to the 18 months.
Right, thank you. Any further discussion or questions from the council?
Jeremy,
recuse myself. Okay, Kurt, yeah, recuse himself. I'm looking for a motion then.
Move to accept the 18 months.
Okay, I have a motion to accept the 18 months.
I'll second.
I have a second. The motion is second for 18 months. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passed.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Amber D. Miller Wilson. Currently employed with the Department of Corrections, the sustained allegation is driving under the influence, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, which is a downward deviation from a 6 months baseline due to the minimal nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On March 25th, 2016, Amber D. Miller Wilson received a citation under a city ordinance for dogs attacking persons or animals.
We're doing the vicious.
Yes, I apologize. Vicious animal. I have 28, and I appreciate the correction. 28 is hard to keep a track of. So yes, this is vicious animal at large, which falls under category E. Letter of caution, 6 months is the standard baseline. We are bringing it down due to the minimal nature of the offense. Thank you. I apologize for that. I will proceed with the facts. On March 25th, 2016, Amber D. Miller Wilson received a citation under a city ordinance for dogs attacking persons or animals. Wilson's dog escaped from the yard and entered the yard of a nearby neighbor. The dog started chasing chickens and bit one of them. The neighbor's 13-year-old son tried to scare the dog away, but the dog began acting aggressively towards him. The neighbor, the parent of the 13-year-old, came out and chased the dog away. The chicken survived and was not seriously injured. On April 25th, 2016, Wilson pled guilty to a city ordinance violation of dogs attacking persons and animals, a Class C misdemeanor. During Garrity interviews with her agency and Post, Wilson admitted her dog escaped from her backyard and bit a neighbor's chicken. On August 15, 2016, Amber D. Miller Wilson waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
All right, thank you. Is Ms. Wilson here?
Council, I'd just like to express my sincere apology. I understand that my actions were negligent, and I've taken action so this doesn't happen in the future.
All right, any questions for Ms. Wilson from the Post Council?
I have a question, Chair. Ma'am, how long did you live in the house prior to this incident?
About 3 weeks.
Any further questions? All right, thank you. I'll look for a discussion or a motion. Another question.
Do you have any other prior issues with this dog in the past?
No.
Okay, so this is the first time you've had this issue.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I'd like to recommend that Post take no action on this issue.
Okay, we have a recommendation to change from the letter of caution to no action.
I second.
We have a second.
Sure,
okay, Jerry Cook will recuse. Any further discussion? We have a motion to take no action and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
See if I can get this one right. The next matter before the council is the certification of Jeffrey P. Moody. He is formerly employed with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is assault with bodily injury, substantial bodily injury, so a Class A misdemeanor, which falls under Category A of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is revocation, which is the baseline for this category. A summary of the facts are as follows. On November 27th, 2013, Jeffrey Moody was involved in a domestic dispute with his ex-wife and her boyfriend. Moody's ex-wife and her boyfriend went to Moody's apartment for a custody exchange of Moody's children. During the exchange, there was a confrontation between Moody's wife and Moody's ex-wife, which became heated and physical. The boyfriend stepped towards the two females to separate them. Moody stepped in front of the boyfriend and hit him in the face with a closed fist, knocking the boyfriend to the ground. Moody then stood over the boyfriend while he laid on the ground in the fetal position and continued to hit the boyfriend with closed fists. According to witnesses, the boyfriend never made any aggressive or threatening moves towards anyone and never tried to fight back after Moody attacked him. The boyfriend suffered a broken nose, a laceration to the nose, and scrapes and bruises to the head and face. On December 16, 2013, charges were filed on Moody for assault, a Class A misdemeanor. On April 14, 2014, Moody pled guilty to assault, a Class A misdemeanor. Moody failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on August 16, 2016, an order of default was signed by an administrative law judge and mailed to Moody.
Thank you. Mr. Moody or his counsel present? I see no one rising, so I'll entertain discussion or a motion from the council.
I move we accept the recommendation.
Okay. We have a motion to accept the revocation notice.
I'll second.
And we have 2 seconds. All right. I have a motion and a second for revocation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Next case.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Lisa Neff. I believe that's how you say it. Currently employed with the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office. Sustained allegation is criminal trespass, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3-month suspension, which is a downward deviation from the 6-month baseline. And this is due to the nature of the offense and the fact that there was no damage to the property. A summary of the facts are as follows. On February 4th, 2016, Lisa Neff was criminally investigated by her agency for an allegation of criminal trespass. Neff and her son were observed by a deputy riding a four-wheeler on a neighbor's property in violation of a no trespassing warning, which had been issued to her son by a peace officer 5 months earlier. Neff was charged with criminal trespass, and on March 4th, 2016, Neff entered a plea of guilty to be held in abeyance. During a Garrity interview by Neff's agency and post, Neff admitted to riding the four-wheeler on the North Fork of the Easement Road on February 4th, 2016. Neff also admitted she was aware the North Fork of the Easement Road was the neighbor's property and her son had been trespassed from the road in September of 2015. On August 12th, 2016, Lisa Neff waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. We have Ms. Neff.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Neff. I am currently employed as a correctional officer with the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office. I have been employed with the same agency for the last 14 years. I come before you today to annotate an event that took place on February 4th of this year, which resulted in me and my 13-year-old son being charged with trespass. My family's property extends onto a right-of-way easement that is shared with two other parties, a local farmer and our neighbor to the north. We utilize this right-of-way to access a rail car that houses hay for our livestock. This rail car was placed by the previous owners directly in the center of the easement, so you could drive north to or the south of the rail car. After a recent conflict with our son on his dirt bike utilizing the easement to access a friend's house, the neighbor to the north determined that our son was only to utilize the easement on the south side of the rail car to access his friend's house and the rail car. The evening of the trespass offense, my husband called from work and asked my son to take the four-wheeler and go and retrieve hay from the rail car to feed the livestock. It had snowed several inches over the last couple days and with sustained winds resulted in snow drifts that were impassable with the ATV. The north side of the rail car had been shielded from the wind and the snow drifts were not as deep. My son took the path of least resistance, which resulted in law enforcement being notified. I received a phone call from a fellow employee telling me that the neighbor had reported my son on his property and that an officer was on his way to investigate. I asked my son to show me where he had drove the ATV to cause the neighbor to summons law enforcement. My son and I hopped on the ATV and he drove me past the rail car in the same snow tracks as where he had just came from, which was on the north side of the rail car. It was never my intent to commit a crime as a mother. I was only trying to protect my son. The next morning, I informed the sheriff that one of the deputies responded to my home for a trespass complaint. At noon that day, I was placed on administrative leave until an investigation could be completed. I remained on admin leave for approximately 1 month until the investigation could be completed. Myself and my son were charged with trespass. My son received 35 hours of community service, and I appeared in justice court where I had been a bailiff. I pled to a plea in abeyance. The plea will expire on October 1st in just a few days from now. The decision I made to have my son show me where he had traveled that night has changed my life dramatically. Even though it was just a few feet onto the other side of the easement, it has cost my family thousands of dollars, not to mention the physical and psychological burdens incurred my family. I was given 2 weeks off without no pay from the jail commander. I had to hire an attorney to defend me in court. It was decided that we should sell our home, so there would be no chance of another encounter with the neighbor. Since a violation prior to us selling our home, the neighbor and his wife came over and apologized for the incident. Going this far, he went on to explain that it was never his intention for me to lose my job, benefits, and retirement for a simple neighbor dispute. I asked the board today to please spare revoking or suspending my certification, as I feel I have learned my lesson, take responsibility for what I have done, and have been punished in multiple ways. I have just had to recently purchase another home.
Thank you. Any questions from the council for Ms. Neff? Okay, I'll take a motion or discussion.
Where the road splits, there's an obstacle, the rail car in the center of the road, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And so the road, you don't enter the road and then one fork takes you down this way to your house and then one fork takes you down there to the neighbor's house, correct?
And you enter the road and it's a full road and then it does split. Right in the middle is a rail car.
And then it comes back together?
And then it comes back together at this end. We own the south side with another farmer, and then on the north side there's three other owners on this side. But we own the rail car, which stored our hay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, added on that, I would ask for some further information on this prior to the meeting. Because the way I read it, it split off and maybe the delineation wasn't correct in the documentation. If you look on the map, does it show as a road on the map? And does it show as a Class D road in Boxhella County?
It just shows as a dirt road, and it comes in and forks off, and then it just comes back around, and it goes back down over the railroad tracks to a farmer's property.
It's not a county-maintained road?
No, but even a Class D road would be county-maintained.
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions? Sure.
When the deputy showed up that night, you stated that the complainant said they didn't want you to lose your job. Did they sign a complaint against you and your son, a citation?
No, he did not.
So what was their intent in calling the police or calling the deputy? Do you know?
There had been multiple incidents with the neighbor, and he just didn't like my son. He stated in one of the prior incidents that he didn't like the sound of the dirt bike and that he would contact law enforcement every time my son was on his dirt bike.
So the violation on her part then was, Mr. Yockey, was the riding back with him, having him show her where.
Correct. It's twofold. Because there is a post has to take action on this. Anytime we have a conviction, we're obligated to take action. And because of the conviction, we brought that forward. With that, it would have been the violation of her driving on that. That's where the citation came from.
So, follow-up question. So you said there had been a history of things going on between you and the neighbor?
Between my husband and my kids, my neighbor, this was the first incident that I had been home.
Were you aware prior to the February incident that the neighbor did not want your son on that side?
Yes, the deputy came over when they had questions about the easement. Prior to that, we gave them the plat map, and about a month later, they came over and said, told my son, just stay off of there. And so he did. They never told me that I had to stay off there. They just said to stay off, and I didn't go over there.
But prior to October 4th, before law enforcement got involved, had there been discussions about your son utilizing the south side?
I can't remember the incident of October, and then February before that, not that I'm aware of, before October, because there was the October incident where he called the police, and then the February incident.
Is there any damage to the property?
No,
any damage?
Sir.
There's no alleged damage or anything?
As far as four-wheeler checks,
right.
Just to go around the rail car, and when he went around the rail car, he came right back over on our property and was able to get through the drifts to come right back home.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, I'd just recommend a letter of caution in this situation.
Okay, we have a recommendation to change the three-month suspension to a letter of caution. Is there a second? There's a second. Any further discussion? If not, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor of a letter of caution, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'll take a minute for a prerogative here as a chair. Let's take 5 minutes, have a break. It's kind of getting warm in here, and maybe some of us need to take a walk.